right, take your Bibles. Turn to Proverbs 18:24. Proverbs 18:24. We are going to have part two of our lesson on separation and friendship. Separation and friendship. Last week we started with this, and I'm going to review for those of you that weren't here and get you up to speed, and then we'll kick it in gear. Amen. Proverbs 18, look at verse number 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, last week I began with this statement. Separation is more than just coming out of something. It's more than just turning away from something. It is separating unto something. Let me show you. We use the illustration of Lot and his family. Lot left Sodom and Gomorrah. While they were journeying, they came to a place called Zoar, first town out of Sodom, and his wife turned back and was turned to a pillar of salt. Now, wait a minute. She was out of Sodom and Gomorrah. She had come out, but she was looking back. They were supposed to be in God's will. The goal was to be here, focused this direction. Fact is, she had come out of something, but she was looking this way the whole time. She was wanting what she had come from. Separation means you don't just come out of, you separate to what you're headed towards. That's the big difference. Now, I'm not going to go through a lot more of that. Let me just review some major things here. God, first of all, wants to be your friend. Proverbs 18:24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That's in reference to Jesus. God wants to be your friend. Abraham was called the friend of God. The Bible says that Moses spoke to God as a man speaks to his friend face to face. Boy, that's a big statement. We talked about the disciples. We talked about Lazarus. We talked about Judas. And we talked about the fact that God wants to be our friend. Now watch this. If we have friendships that we come out of, but we don't become his friend, we're not separated. We're not separated. Friendship separation means you come out of the wrong friendships and this becomes your friendship. Those that are associating here, you have to be careful associating with those that came out, but they're still looking back. If you're associating with these that are still looking back, guess what? You're about to get pulled away from your friend God. Bible says, number two, avoid those which cause divisions and offenses. Romans 16, 17, and 18. Chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. The word division means disunity, dissension, or trouble. Offenses, meaning scandal, those who trap, those who cause someone to fall or sin, those who purposely try to destroy. And that word avoid means more than just go out of the way from. It literally means to absolutely shun. To absolutely stay away from. It's a very strong, powerful word. We think the word avoid is just, oops, barely just got by that one. Oh, no, 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 no. An avoidance is something that you plan to get away from something. All right? Now, let me say this. The purpose of avoiding those people is so that you can stay focused on your friendship with God. It's not because those are bad people. It's not because they're associated with the wrong people. What happens is this, they'll draw your eyes away from where you're supposed to be. Now, I've got to go to the next point because we got a long way to go, and I think we're going to have part three next week. Point number three, withdraw from those who walk disorderly. This is new material. Withdraw from those who walk disorderly. Turn your Bible, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now, folks, I have said this all along. When I'm done on this series on friendship, lesson on friendship, I've often said separation are not those petty little things that you think separation is. When I say separation in the average Baptist mind, they say, okay, women can't wear breeches, men can't have long hair, can't smoke, drink, or go to the movie house. Amen? Y'all know what I'm talking about? That's not separation. There is a difference between separation and standards. Most people think standards are their separation. That's not separation. We'll get to that later. Amen? Now, 2 Thessalonians 3, the Bible says, withdraw from those who walk disorderly. Look at verse number 6. Now we command you, brethren. Look at me. Does that sound like a request? Does that sound like God saying, well, I hope y'all do this? No, God says, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, watch this, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother. Doesn't say lost person. From every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which we have received of us, for yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Ooh. Now, look at me very carefully. This may be a little difficult to swallow, but we're big boys and big girls here. We can handle it. The word withdraw means to abstain from association, to avoid. God says, I want you to abstain from associating with those who walk disorderly. He said, I want you to avoid or totally shun those who walk disorderly. I have friends who are in that realm right there. I don't spend time with them, but I still consider myself their friend. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Now, wait a minute. I don't go see them. I don't call them on the telephone once a week to see how they're doing. We don't text. They're walking disorderly. If they called the office and said, Brother Bush, I need your help, I'd find out what they needed, and I would do everything in my power to help them within the realm of right. But I'm not going to go spend time with them. Say, why? Because I'm commanded by God. Notice it takes the emotion out of everything. I love some people very dearly that I don't get to spend time with anymore. Because I'm commanded by God not to spend time with them. I watch people ruin their lives. I watch people ruin their families. I watch people ruin ministries. I watch people ruin churches because they will not obey the command of God to abstain and withdraw from walking with people who walk disorderly. I watch marriages get blown up over that. Now, the word disorderly means morally irregular, not in line with truth or right. Listen to me very carefully. Everybody look at me for a second. If right is based on truth, anybody not walking that line, God says, withdraw yourself from. I have friends that in the last 10, 15 years have written me or called me and said, Craig, I don't understand. I had one friend that said, the King James Bible is not inspired. It's just preserved. It was only inspired in the originals. I said, don't call me like that. I love you, my friend, and I don't want us to fight over this. You know better than that, and so do I. He said, well, I've changed. I said, yes, you have. That was 7 years ago, and I haven't talked to him since. Say why? He's not walking a line of truth. And I withdrew myself from those who walk disorderly. When people walk in wrong doctrine, withdraw yourself. By the way, it says a brother. I'm not talking about the Catholics. I'm not talking about the Episcopalians. I'm not talking about the Methodists. I'm not talking about the Southern Baptists. I'm not talking about any of those. It says the brother. That's the person that went to church with you. It doesn't matter whether it's in your own home. It doesn't matter whether it's your own family. When they walk disorderly. Now, if you're married to them, you got to stay with them. Amen? I know where we're headed on that one, so hang in there. But some of you choose to spend your time with people that walk disorderly. Now listen to me very carefully. Back in the 1930s, 1940s, 1950s, Southern Baptist Convention started going liberal very quickly. There were some men that were, for lack of better terminology, excommunicated from the Southern Baptist Convention. They got the boot, amen? You had men like John Rice, Lester Roloff, Lee Roberson, Jack Hiles, Joe Boyd, men like that that were kicked out of the Southern Baptist Convention, G.B. Vick, and others. Okay? They were taking a stand, and the Southern Baptist Convention had already been going liberal. Folks, do you know where some of those men graduated from college? They graduated from colleges that now play NCAA football, that are Southern Baptist colleges. Now, I say that to say this. They saw teachers standing in Southern Baptist colleges teaching evolution, teaching that the King James Bible is not the Word of God. They were still associated with them. They got booted out because they weren't going to back down, and they weren't sending money to the convention who was supporting those colleges. They didn't want their church members' tithe money supporting something that was wrong doctrinally. Now listen to me very carefully. Brother Hiles, Roloff, Rice, Roberson, Vick, all those men, they pulled out. Guess what? There were others that pulled out with them, but they stayed friends with people that were still in there. And those that stayed friends with people that were still in the Southern Baptist Convention, do you know what happened to them? They went back to the Southern Baptist Convention. Say why? Because they didn't withdraw. They didn't withdraw from those who were walking disorderly. Now, listen to me very carefully. The more you are around those who are disorderly, the more potential to be drawn away from God you get. The more you walk around the crowd that are disorderly, the more potential you have of getting away from God. Please listen to me carefully. If I sat in my office and listened to Baptist preachers who didn't believe that the King James Bible is inspired, inerrant, perfect, preserved, and the words of God, word for word, it would eventually pull down our church. If I let somebody behind this pulpit that stands here and says, well, the King James Bible is the most reliable translation, but we only had the inspired one in its originals. Some of you would leave this church over it, and by the way, I'd want you to. If it happens while I'm on vacation, let me know and don't leave, because I'll kick their backside out before the service is over. Trust me, I'll do my homework enough beforehand. Now, listen to me very carefully here. Why is it okay for you to do it then? Why is it okay to come out from something and you start headed the right direction and you get here or get closer to here, but yet all of your or much of your association is still back here? Remember Lot's wife? That's a powerful verse. Memory verse. You can memorize it, amen? Remember Lot's wife. Three words. You can do it, all right? It's only one word bigger than the shortest one in the Bible, all right? Jesus wept. So that's two verses tonight. You memorized them, amen? Glory. Lot's wife left Sodom, went to Zoar, but her attention stayed back here. Remember Lot's wife. The more you are around those who are disorderly, listen to this, the more potential to be drawn away from God you get. The more the wrong people contact you, please don't get mad at me at this. The more the wrong crowd contacts you, the less they see you close to God. I'm not saying that you'll have no contact back here. But when you make your stand known, guess what? They don't bother you anymore. Okay, some of you got saved out of a bad lifestyle, okay? Some of you were smoking and drinking and carousing. You remember when you first got saved and started coming out of that? The old crowd kept coming around, didn't they? But after about the second or third time you made your stand, you haven't seen them again in 30 years, have you? The closer you got to God, the less contact with you they had. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Guess what? Same's true with doctrine and brethren who walk disorderly. Do you know how I find out people are criticizing me? Some of you tell me, because I don't hear about it. I don't hear about it. Somebody's got to call me and tell me somebody's criticizing. I say, oh, okay. I didn't know that. Now, some of you know the scoop right away. That would worry me. You know, I've only been offered alcohol twice in the last 25 years. Both times it's with been brand new converts. Happened to me over in Stonebridge about 9 years ago. I won a man to Christ just around the corner from where my mom and dad live. They don't live in that house anymore. Not my mom and dad, but the people that I won to the Lord. I was so winning. Won this guy to Christ. He said, man, that was so good. He said, you want something to drink? He said, you want beer? You want wine? What do you want? He said, we'll pull out the good stuff. He was so happy about getting saved, he wanted to take a drink, amen? Now, wait a minute. He didn't know any different. That's happened to me twice in 25 years. If I had people constantly begging me to go drinking, I'd worry about my walk with God. The disorderly will confuse you and frustrate you away from God. Turn to Proverbs 17. I want to show you a verse. Oh, this is going to... I cannot wait to get here. Hurry up, folks. Get there fast. Proverbs 17, verse number 9. The Bible says, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love. But he that repeateth a matter separateth the fairy friends. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love. But he that repeateth a matter separateth fairy friends. This is my friend. I might be able to tell you something bad he's done, but you know what? I love him enough, I'm not going to ever tell you. Can I tell you what the world says? Then they come down here to Brother York and say, Brother York, do you know what Brother Hollinger was doing the other night? Man, did you hear what he did while his wife was gone? Brother, she's in the nursery, don't worry. And this is how you separate very friends. Because then I come back and say, oh, what's the matter, brother? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Uh-huh. Love says, I love you enough, even though you might have done something wrong, guess what? So have I. Don't worry about it. You're just trying to cover up. Yeah. Aren't you glad God covered us up with the blood of Jesus Christ? I beg you, find the verse. God doesn't say, when you do something wrong, get up in front of the church and tell everybody what bad you did. Amen. Hello. Because if you do, guess what? We're carting everybody up here. Not just the one you just caught. That is as unscriptural as it comes. I guess God couldn't be a very good pastor for some people because God covers every one of our sins. When we get to heaven, guess what? He's going to look at an account and say, there's nothing there. Bunch of reprobate rebels that want to bring everybody else's sin up. Everybody doing okay? Say, well, you're just trying to cover up. I'm trying to be like God. How about you? I'm not God. I know that's a shock to some of you. The wrong crowd tries to confuse people by all of the chitter-chatter, all of the pulling away from, well, did you hear? Did you hear? Did you hear? Well, I happen to hear. I know this and I know that. Yeah, right. And they're separating very friends over that. The Bible says the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That roaring lion, the lions will hunt. The male lions will roar as the prey is in the valley there, in that little depression. And the sound starts whirling around to where the prey doesn't know where to run because the sound's coming from all directions. And the female lions then, while the prey is confused, go down and kill it. That's exactly what God's talking about here with the wrong crowd. You are to withdraw yourself from those that walk disorderly because they're going to try to confuse you to the point of, well, I don't know if I'm right or wrong now. Well, we have all this proof. We have all this evidence that Brother Hollinger is a bad person. Well, first of all, where's your proof? Second of all, is your proof even truth? And third of all, why do you want to show it with everybody, even if it is true? Amen. Do you know it's not a shocking revelation that Don Hollinger's a sinner? It's even less of a revelation that Evan Barnes is a sinner. Okay? Good night. That's why God said we're all sinners. Who cares what his sin is? I don't. I got enough trouble with mine. Why do I want to worry about his? Boy, that's good stuff. Those who will purpose, well, let me say it this way. The whole purpose of withdrawing from that crowd is so you can get closer to him. How close are you to God while you're listening to gossip? How close are you to God while you're listening to negative puke in your ear about somebody else's sin? I would rather drink a bucket of puke than have somebody tell me negative truth they know about somebody. And I'm not kidding. And I'm not touching a bucket of puke. I've been barfed on more times than I can count in my life. I've caught more barf, been baptized by barf, you name it. And I'd rather have it in my mouth than listen to some of you wag your tongue about all the bad you know about somebody. Because all you're doing is trying to draw me away from what I'm supposed to do, and that's get close to God. I'm not going to listen to it. I don't listen to it, just so you know. By the way, after I have to listen to it, if I'm counseling, I try to forget it. Some of you have seen me in recent years. Guess what? You'll say, do you remember when? And I'll say, uh-uh. Say why? Because I never think about it again. Amen. I honestly cannot tell you. I've counseled marriages, and then 4 or 5 years later, they come back, Brother Gus. And I'll say, do you remember? Uh-uh, remind me. What do you mean you don't remember? Because I've counseled about 1,000 more since then, and I really don't want to think about it. I don't think about it anymore. Now, listen very carefully. The whole purpose of withdrawing from them is so that you can be closer to God. Remember Lot's wife? Though she separated from Sodom and Gomorrah, she did not withdraw from. And because she did not withdraw from, she turned to a pillar of salt and never did get close to God. Next. We'll start this point and we'll finish it next week. Number four. We then must let principles decide our friendships. We must let principles decide our friendships. Those of you that are under 15, that's not the guy that runs the school. Principles are truths by which we live. Okay, P-L-E-S, not P-A-L-S. Some of those of you that didn't catch that have gray hair should be wondering right now, what is he talking about? Okay, we must let principles decide our friendships. Letter A, number one, whatever you want to call it. You may need to override the emotions. Truth should override emotion in friendship. Principle overrides emotion in friendship. And folks, listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. I've lost two jobs in the ministry over friendships. And I'm willing to pay a price, trust me. I'm not afraid of it. I don't let people tell me who my friends can be. As much as I love you, Rich Stoltz, you won't tell me who my friends are. I'll go a step farther. As much as I love my mom and dad, they won't tell me who my friends are. Say why? My friendship's not based on my mom and dad or Brother Stoltz. It's based on the Word of God, truth, and principle. Period. Now, I thank God my family is on the right trail. Amen? And I'm glad I've been able, and I've been honored to be able to live some Bible verses because my family is. My Bible says, thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Guess what? I'm glad I get to be friends with people that are my parents' friends. Man, what a wonderful way to live. But may I say this as cautiously as I know how, you need to take truth over emotion. Well, I love that person. There's a lot of people I love that I don't spend time with. I can still love them if I don't spend time with them. If I spend time with them, we're not going to love each other very long. Y'all know what I'm talking about? My friend that called me, or actually he wrote me a letter stating that he no longer believed that the King James Bible was inspired, I wrote him back and said, don't you ever send me this garbage again. I love you enough to tell you this. If you want to call me and we talk about things we agree with, great. If not, I love you anyway. That was the last time I had contact with him. But I still love him. If he walked through that door, I'd go hug his neck, tell him I love him. He opens his mouth about that book, we're going to have trouble. Amen. Hello. Hey. I have friends that I've worked with over the years that have changed. And I mean changed bad. I have a man that I worked for at one point in time that's not even a Baptist anymore. Wait a minute. Does that mean I was wrong? No, I stood for truth. I was that man's children's youth pastor. I loved his kids. Let me make a statement this way. If you're loyal to the right principles, you'll be loyal to the right people. When you are loyal to the right principles, you'll be loyal to the right people. I love that little lady sitting right there. June 24th will be 24 years we've been married. And I'm excited about that. But may I say something? If the only loyalty I have to her is because of who she is, my loyalty is pretty weak. My loyalty is to God and to the principles of that book. And as long as I'm loyal to that book and I'm loyal to God, guess what? I will be loyal to her. People that mess up in their marriages, it's a walking with God issue. Then they start associating with those that they should not associate with. Whether it be online, whether it be in person, no matter what it is, you start messing around in areas you shouldn't be because you're not loyal to the right principles. If you're loyal to the right principles, you'll be loyal to the right people. You don't have to wonder if I'm loyal to you. You're stuck. Say, well, what if somebody's not loyal to you? I don't give a rip about that. I'll be loyal to them. That's my job. And I know this, we'll be in line as long as we're on the same path of truth. I can still love you if you're on a different path, but I'm not going to spend any time with you. You say, what preachers do you associate with? Probably same ones you know. But I don't spend a lot of time with them either. I got a church to run. I'm not out politicking. I'm not out hobnobbing with the ministerial association. Why in the world would I want to join the ministerial association? Sit down with a bunch of people that don't even believe the Bible, that preach false doctrine. Why do I want to go eat lunch with a bunch of people that I'm going to get in a fight with? I don't understand that. Well, you're not going to have a very popular church. Tried to knock on doors and find out, you know, we've been a church 7 months and everybody knows about it. I guess we're not very popular, huh? I guess I didn't try to be popular. You see, if you're loyal to the right principles, you'll be loyal to the right people. Let me give you one more statement here. Don't build friendships with angry people. Turn to Proverbs 27. Miss Hollinger, did you need someone? Mrs. Barnes, you're needed in the nursery. Take Brother Barnes with you. He'll start whining next. Now, I'm hoping I've got the right verse here. Hang on here. I think maybe I wrote the wrong verse down, but hang in there. The Bible says that we should not, with an angry man, thou shalt not go. I didn't write the right verse down, and I apologize. I'll get it for you for next week. We'll review there, amen. But the Bible says, make no friendships with an angry man. Listen to me very carefully. Make no friendships with an angry man. That doesn't mean somebody that lost their temper one time in life should never be your friend. How many of you ever knew somebody that you would call a hothead? You know, short fuse. Those are the people you don't make your friends. You say, why? They're going to hurt you. If they blow up at everybody else that quick, guess what? They're going to blow up at you that quick someday. They always have contention around them. I don't know about you. I hate contention. Y'all might think I enjoy fighting. I despise it. I don't like contention anywhere. I have a neighbor who drinks like a fish. I love the summertime and the springtime, except I hate sleeping with my windows open on Friday or Saturday night when he's drunk. Because invariably about 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, him and his wife are screaming and hollering. I'll be honest with you. They'll wake me up sometimes and they're out there screaming and hollering at each other. And I mean, they're going to town. And I sit there and I can cry over it because I just hate contention. I think, how sad. How sad. I'm not an angry person. Anybody that's been around me knows that. There's very few people, that have ever seen me really lose my temper. My mom saw me one time chase my brother with a hoe. Okay? But I had taken it a long time before I chased him with the hoe, amen? Then I got whumped because I went out in the street with it. I didn't get beat because I chased him with the hoe. I got beat because I walked out in the street and I wasn't supposed to. But that's where he was at, amen? That wasn't fair. Warped my psyche, amen? Along with a few other things that got warped. Did you ever notice angry people? Okay, you all know what I'm talking about. That guy at work or that lady at work that's never in a good mood. There's always contention around that person. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I used to love when I used to pitch baseball. There's always one hothead on a baseball team. Always. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They're in sports, there's always one guy that if you can get him mad, he creates civil war. Amen? He'll throw the bat at the next batter and break his leg to where he can't bat or something. Yeah, I mean, he just does. You say, what do you do? Man, you get him whiffing on some pitches, and then you dust him back with a high heater. Get him mad. If I can get a guy enraged, he can't hit anything. I used to get those guys so mad at me. They'd want to kill me. Say, what'd you do? I was just pitching. I just knew how to make them mad. I'm not kidding. I'll quit with this illustration. I really will. I worked for a man, I won't tell you where, but I was involved in starting his little league. Well, he had heard that I had done a bunch of pitching, and he had grown up around some people that had turned professional athletes, and he was a pretty good hitter. He really was. He was a good curveball hitter. We got big little league games out there. We had four teams out there, and we had all the parents, and we're in a big, you know, big, just down the road from a church. Our church was the field we played at. He said, come on, Brother Bush, go out there and pitch some. I'm going to hit. And I said, nah, preacher, I don't want to do that. He said, come on. He said, I'm telling you, let's go. We probably had 100, 150 of our church folks there. I mean, there was a lot of people there. I go out and warm up a little bit. I said, you sure? So I start throwing him down the pike and let him start hitting them, you know. Pew, pew, pew. He said, come on, I know you throw curveballs. I said, yes, sir. He said, start throwing some. So I start throwing a couple curveballs, and he's missing three, hit one, missed four, hit one. I get him leaning outside. He said, I heard you have another pitch. I said, I got a lot of them. He said, yeah, but I heard you got one that nobody can hit. I knew what he was talking about. I knew how to throw a screwball. Now, if you know anything about a curveball, on a right-handed batter, a curveball starts off about here and then drops off and goes outside. And as a pitcher throws it, he's coming either on top of the ball or just to the side of the ball and pulling down on it. The rotation of the ball causes the ball to move around, dance around. Screwball starts the same way as a curveball, but you don't throw it this way. You turn your hand over it backwards, and the rotation's going this way. So it starts off like a curveball, and then all of a sudden it comes right back in at you. It kind of does one of these banana hooks, you know, but instead of going out, it's coming in on the fingernails. Well, I have sawed the bat off in guys' hands more than once. He said, bet you can't get me on it. Wrong thing. You know, 100 degrees out, I'm hot, I'm sweaty, and now you just challenged me, it's over. I got him leaning outside on that curveball, let him jack a couple, and all of a sudden, I come back in with that screwball. My teenage guys were going, come on, Brother Bush, do it, do it, do it, do it. I looked at my catcher and gave him the nod. And all of a sudden, he reaches out like that, and I'm not kidding, 4 inches above his top hand, the bat went off. Wooden bat, sawed it right off. It was broken off inside the tape, okay? I mean, we busted that puppy. And he's over there going, he said, man, I never saw anything like that. He said, hang on. He goes over and gets an aluminum bat. I said, don't do that. He said, come on. I said, don't use one of those. He said, yeah, it'll be okay. I said, no, it won't. He said, come on. I said, all right. He's got one of these, you know, $175 titanium aluminum bats, you know. It weighs about 4 ounces, 34 inches long. I get him leaning outside. He's swinging outside, and I back with the screwball. Have you ever had a ball hit the handle of a metal bat, fellas? Y'all know what I'm talking about. It doesn't go ting. It goes ting. And your hands feel like you just grabbed a hold of a hornet's nest and shook it and didn't let go. In the hands. He was not a happy man. He came out and he was yelling at me. I said, you're the one that told me to throw it. I didn't want to come out here in the first place. Man, he was a hothead. I knew that. That's why I didn't want to go out there. Now I got to take it in front of everybody. But very quietly, I said, you're the one that wanted us out here, not me. That's all I said. And he went, oh, yeah. Puts his arm around. It's okay, brother. I thought, yeah, right. You're about ready to kill me. They create contention around them, amen? Let your principles decide your friendships. Let your principles override your emotions. Withdraw from those who walk disorderly. Say, who's disorderly? They've got to be in violation of the Word of God, not just because they don't agree with you. Disorderly means they're causing other people to stumble and fall, not just because they don't agree with you. Not because they disagree with what color you put here or what you did there or what you did here as far as a decoration, or you don't like the flowers we put up there, or you don't, oh, I'm going to withdraw over that. Yeah, let's play big boy stuff now. I'm talking about doctrine, truth. Folks, it's time for us to separate in our friendships. I'll give you part three next week. And we'll finish up on this. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're going to take just a moment for an invitation. But I believe with all my heart, some of us need to step up and purify some of our friendships.